Hey, what's up, y'all? I am so excited to share with you guys about this application called Anchor. I've been on Anchor for about a year. I just hit 1,000 listens, so I'm very excited about that. I don't even know 1,000 people. But all I had to do was go on my App Store or your Google Store, download the application, hit the plus symbol, and you can start recording right from there. You can also go on and edit, and you can make money from this podcast as well. Don't worry. You ain't got to go through all of that crazy stuff like posting it in all these million places. Anchor will do that for you. So it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. All right? And you can earn money, as I said, with no minimum listenership. All right? So all you got to do is download the free application or go to Anchor FM to get started. It's just that easy. Hey guys, I know I told you that me and Carlos a couple weeks ago went to the great state of Colorado, more specifically to Denver, and we found one of our new favorite places when we were out there. It's called La Rola Urban Colombian Food. Is that right? Did I say it right, love? Did I say it right? Yes. I practiced before I started doing this. But anyway, we actually know the owner, and no, we didn't get any perks or anything like that, but it is by far the best Colombian food I've ever had. Y'all know I'm picky. Y'all know I just really like chicken and cornbread and greens and whatever Carlos cooks, but they had some of the best empanadas that I ever tasted. I mean, other than what Carlos makes, because those are the best. Don't tell him I said. He's right here in front of me. He's looking at me. But anyway, I had the best empanadas possible. I had arepas. It was a Colombian hot dog. I didn't even know they had a Colombian hot dog. The meat was flavorful. Everything on the plate was amazing. Awesome. It's in Zeppelin Station down in Denver. So if you ever find yourself in that area and you want some good, authentic Colombian food, please stop by and tell Andrea that Reggie sent you. All right. She might do something nice, but if you're just expecting good food, that's probably what you're going to get. All right. So go out and check out La Rola Urban Colombian Food. Did I say it right again, love? Okay, great. Go and check them out. Give them 5 stars. Tell them that Reggie sent you, and I promise you, you won't regret it. All right. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for listening to the show, and I'll check in with y'all later. Hey guys, what's going on? This is your boy Reggie. Hey, what's up? And I am so honored to share with you guys a conversation that I had with a gentleman by the name of Daryl Samuels. He is a colleague or friend that I served with in the armed forces when I was in the military. We served together in Iraq, and he's an amazing gentleman. And what made me think of him was the mutual friend that we have in common, which is this great gentleman by the name of Damien L. Heidelberg. Damien unfortunately passed away in 2003 in Iraq, and he was a great person. Throughout our conversation, you're going to see us kind of jump around from things. There was a lot of catching up to do between he and I. We also had some technical issues that you guys probably will hear on the back end as well. And it was just a great conversation for us to be able to you know, just respect each other in terms of the black experience, and also reminiscing about the time, you know, that we had when we spent a year in Iraq. So amazing gentleman. And I'm happy to take the time to highlight Damien Heidelberg, who was a great guy from Shibuda, Mississippi, an amazing person, and would literally give you the shirt off his back. And I think that's something that I said in the interview or conversation, if you will. So please take a listen. I appreciate you guys' support. The network is growing. The Reggie Expressions Network is growing, and I see it every day. And I can't thank you guys enough. So my call to action to you guys, if you're interested in continuing the show and you know, supporting me in any way possible, there is going to be a support link in the Apple Podcast, and it's also going to be in Google. And I'm also going to attach the link for my support, or for you guys to support, on the link for Facebook, Instagram, and all of that fun stuff. So thank you. Enjoy the conversation. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys. Thanks. Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? It's another episode of Reggie's Expressions. I know you guys, a lot of you guys are like, what? He just put out an episode on Sunday. Yeah, I'm doing a special episode where I get to talk to an old buddy that I used to serve with in the armed forces in the Army. And, you know, Monday was, which was yesterday, was Memorial Day. And unfortunately, when I see, especially in my experience, when I see things on Memorial Day, it seems like a very, it's only white soldiers. And it reminds me of a gentleman who I served with a few years ago, you know, Damien Heidelberg. And, you know, he was an African-American soldier. And, you know, I never see anything on him. It's almost like, you know, we don't serve, you know, because the people we see that are flashed across the screen are mostly white male. So I wanted to take this opportunity to talk to someone who is really good friends with that gentleman. He knows him well. But before we get into that and we highlight, you know, the special person that Damien Heidelberg was, I want to talk to Mr. Daryl Samuels for a bit. So how are you today, sir?
I'm doing awesome. How about yourself?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad. I mean, you told me earlier I'm not missing no meals, and I guess you're right. So, you know, I like to eat. What can I say? Cereal at midnight is my favorite thing. But yeah, man, things are good. It's been a long time since I hadn't talked to you actually, or been in the same room since 2003, 2004, when we left Iraq.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So, the little that I do, I mean, not little that I knew. I knew you were really good friends with Mike Gunny. That's
Aaron
a crazy Strauss. Guy. Yeah. Didn't you and him serve in the military together, in the Marines together?
No, actually, this is crazy. I didn't know he was a Marine before, and we went to AIT together.
Really? Yes, okay. Because y'all were both truck drivers. I got you. That's right.
Yeah, that's how I met him. We went to AIT together, and from AIT, we went everywhere, every unit together, every platoon we was together. Like I said, that's the first time I met him was in AIT. And we've always been good friends.
So let the people know where you from, Samuels, because that accent real thick.
Okay, I'm from Jackson, Tennessee. Yeah, it's 2 hours away from Nashville.
Right.
About an hour away from Memphis. You know, it's not a big place. It's more of a retirement home to me.
Okay. That's it's area code 731, right?
Yeah, 731.
Okay.
It's getting bigger because the biggest thing about here is there's a lot of hotels and a lot of factories coming in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, Toyota is one of the biggest ones. Toyota Nissan is the biggest thing around here. Mm-hmm. In Kellogg.
I don't think I've ever been to Jackson, Tennessee. Is that close to Murfreesboro or?
Mm-mm. That's close. That's close to Nashville. Where you talking about?
Okay. I've been as far. I mean, I used to go up and down I-4 all the time. Not I-4, but I can't even think of the name of that highway.
Yeah, what's that? Yeah, it's I-40. If you're going on interstate.
Yeah, yeah. But the one that used to go through Nashville to Jackson or to Clarksville, I forget. Anyway, yeah. Damn, it's been so long. I can't even. That's been almost 16 years ago, my man. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yes, it's been a while.
Yeah, where did time go? Like, talking to you now, I feel like it was just yesterday. We were driving trucks together.
Yes, you're right. But what was funny to me is when, you know, yesterday, every year I would do something, a memorial for him, usually some cookout.
Yeah.
We had a promise that when we came back, we was going to have a first beer together. We was going to go out. And, you know, he's from Mississippi, so, you know, Mississippi's not too far from Jackson.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think it's about 2 hours away from where he lived at.
Okay.
You know, I went to his gravesite. It was very hard to find it.
Wow.
That is a very small place. That part of Mississippi is very small.
Okay. And where is he from originally?
Was it Shibuda?
Yeah, that's right. That's it. Mississippi? Yep. So the person that he's talking about is Mr. Damien Heidelberg. He was a 21-year-old kid that, joined the military probably right out of high school, maybe.
I think he's right out of high school.
And just, you know, was... What I remember of Heidelberg, he was very kind of silly, but... The one thing that I saw that was just well beyond his years was the fact that he really would give you the shirt off his back. Like, literally. You know? I've seen him give stuff away. People will ask for it. He'll be in the middle of eating something. They was like, hey, Heidelberg, let me have that. And he would give it to him. He was not attached to personal things. You know? And I just find that I find that one truly amazing thing because... some people might consider him gullible, but honestly and truly, he wasn't gullible. He was just one of those people that at the core of it all just wanted to believe what people said. You know, he didn't have a reason to not believe what people said. You know what I'm saying? And, Samuels, you and him were really good friends. So how did y'all become friends? Did y'all meet in Iraq or did you know him before?
Yep. We met in Iraq. We started out as truck drivers at Fort Campbell, but once we got to Iraq, you know, became a security element.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But anything that had to do with picking up any ammunition, any supplies, picking up people, taking them from base to base, we were I had a gun truck.
Yeah.
And that's where Mike Gunny, he was my gunner. <That's crazy. laughs> he was my gunner. So, like I said, the big thing.
The one thing I remember about Gunny was the fact that that dude was a hothead. He would get mad at the drop of a dime, like beet red. Oh, it's like, boy.
Now, we did another tour in Iraq together. Oh, man, I had to put him in his place so many times.
Wow.
Like you said, he was a hothead, and you know he'd act first but don't think later on.
Right.
And I would always tell him that, you know, even though we're at war, you still have to have respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's not at war with you.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. You know, everybody's not that. You know, I understand watching your back, watching your six, as they say, and but the thing about it is, and I had to explain to him, there's rules of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do anything you want to do. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, and like I said, one of the biggest things is when I got to 187, the Rocket Sons, I really didn't know that much about the Army, especially that infantry unit. I really didn't know too much about it.
Right.
But when I got on Fort Campbell, just that's all people talk about. That's like the major unit.
Right.
And especially for infantry guys.
That was, you know, that was the unit to go to.
Yeah, that was top of the line.
Uh-huh. I mean, you know, I remember going there and I did not know either anything about infantry other than what I learned when I was in AIT and freaking, you know, basic training. But, man, the Rockasans, like, it's a special set of people. Mostly white. It was mostly white. In the company that I was in, it was only five black men that were in that company out of 100 and maybe 25 people, you know? And, I mean, I don't have to explain to you, you know, because the racism and stuff was blatant. No disrespect to anybody, but it was a different time. You know what I'm saying? They could just say and do whatever they want because we knew we were the minorities. But, you know, if it ever got to a point where they crossed the line, we had no problems with letting them know.
Definitely.
So, now, did you come over to Iraq with us in the beginning or were you like midway in the tour and they sent you guys over?
Oh, yeah, I was there in the beginning, as soon as we invaded.
Okay.
I was there. Yeah, I was there from the get-go.
So what's interesting is I don't remember meeting you until late, like maybe like 5 or 6 months in.
Yeah, we stayed on the road all the time.
Okay. Well, you know I used to drive with y'all, right? You remember that?
Yeah, you probably seen me a couple of times, but I was more focused.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were more... Even though it was truck drivers, we were more involved on the infantry side.
Now, you acting like you, me and you, we hung out, Samuel. You know me.
Well, I mean, you know, if anybody's listening, I just want, you know, want them to know, hey, he was there. He was on the front line like everybody else.
Yeah. He knows me.
Yeah. I remember everybody now.
Mm-hmm. I remember Covert.
Oh, Kozart.
Yeah, Kozart. That's what his name was. Kozart.
Tall white guy.
Yes, yes. He ended up getting his sergeant out there, I think.
Yeah, but he became, I think he might have retired. I think he became a, last time I seen him, he started in first class.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He was the base commander driver.
Okay, okay.
That's the last time I seen him.
I remember Dunn. That dude, he was country as hell.
Yeah, another hothead.
Yeah, he was. Well, you know, I mean, I could say something, but nope. You know, they had the ability to be able to be that way, unfortunately. You know, we didn't have that same luxury. You know, being black men, we kind of had to watch our backs, you know, for every little thing. Not like people were trying to attack us, but, you know, it almost seemed like I just had a different experience than...
You got to think about it. My platoon, I was one of the only black guys.
Yeah, you were. That's true.
The only black guys.
That's true. That was like... non-commissioned because you had Lieutenant Rice. I don't know if you remember him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember, he came over.
Yeah.
A couple of months after we got there.
Yeah. And I'm friends with him on Facebook now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I need to get that friend request from him. Remember, we used to play football all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We used to play tackle football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's when he came over. That's when, you know, we first got him.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like him though.
Yeah, he was cool. He's still a cool guy. I remember Samuels them lived in the house. They lived in the plane hangar, and we lived in the tent behind it.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, what was that short corporal name? He became corporal. He used to work in the armory.
Sage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him. He had his days.
Yeah, Sage was
Sage was like 4 foot nothing, had the hugest head I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's what I'm saying. That's, I couldn't remember his name though.
And it was so funny because he walked as if his head was about to tip him over at any time.
That's what I'm saying. Especially if you became corporal.
Right.
You couldn't do him nothing.
And the funny thing about him is he still looks the same. He's on Facebook too. Facebook has really been kind of the gateway for me to get back in touch with a lot of people. And Mike found me. I don't know how he found... Oh, maybe because I was friends with Niles. And I think I might have showed up as People You May Know. You remember Niles?
Yeah. I remember Niles.
Niles and then Platt?
Yeah, I'm Facebook friends with Platt.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the group of people that were with us when we were over in Iraq. And I was supply, so we were the supply guys. So basically, we would have to go on the log packs every day and, you know, take the food.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I wanted to do when I was over in Iraq was drive a truck. That was one of the things that I wanted to do. And I don't know who it was. It might have been Lieutenant Rice. He asked me, he was like, you want to drive? I was like, yeah, absolutely. And because them trucks were fun to drive. I love driving them trucks. they were fun to drive. But one of the things that I tell Carlos, Carlos is here, my husband's here.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, how are you?
Man, I'm doing awesome. Can't complain.
He's the reason I got these extra rolls, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Carlos is a chef. He cooks.
Oh, man, I don't know. He can't beat me.
Well, maybe not. You got that down-home southern cooking. Can't nobody beat that right there.
Yeah, I told you we grilled yesterday.
Yeah.
I was seeing people I didn't know, they pulling up, getting plates. I'm like, hold on, buddy. Now, I ain't selling plates. You can't.
You were the grill master over there.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mainly do, grilling. I mean, I cook, too. I do a lot of cooking. But, you know, down here, you know, people eat food, but, you know, restaurants aren't top tier.
Oh.
You don't have, you know, a place where you go where you have a chef that's cooking caviar or cooking, you know, a lot of stuff, high end stuff.
Right.
You know, they might have steaks down here, you know, places like that. But like I say, as far as, you know, a casual or like I say, you have to dress up attire, restaurant, they don't have that.
Gotcha.
I
was going to ask you, because I know from my experience when I was over there, I mean, we were in a lot of danger. And I don't know if that had something to do with the fact that we were so young at the time. But I never, ever, ever feared that I wasn't going to come back. Did you have that same feeling? Or were you fearful that you might not come back? Or did you ever, you know, go down that dark road of that?
Yeah, you know, you have to remember. I don't think you remember. You remember I got injured. You know, I got a purple heart. I had to
That's
go home for
right. Me. You guys were on y'all way back from Baghdad.
Yeah. See, the crazy part about that is here, a lot of people, they don't know that. You know, and I explained to them, you know, I was like, you know, that was my job.
Right.
I don't need praise. I don't need this. I don't need that. You know, that was my job, and I'm supposed to take care of my battle buddies and stuff like that. I was just doing my job. I don't need extra credentials and stuff like that to, you know, around. And you know, a lot of people like to brag about what happened.
Right.
And all
yeah,
the
this is what happened. I did.
You know, and my second tour in Iraq, you know, just like the biggest thing, like, you know, all the soldiers under me, you know, being a squad leader, they love me because, you know, they call me by the first name, even though, you know, I was an E5, stuff like that. And I tell them, you know, my name is not Sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
That's a type. That's all not right. My name.
Damn.
You know, and that's one of the biggest things, you know, being in the military. You get brainwashed sometimes.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, you take a role on it. Some people take their role beyond where it needs to go.
Right. That's true.
You know how they used to always say, the Donkey and Pony Show?
Yes.
There goes that division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people did stuff just for show.
Right.
You know, we had more maintenance men and, you know, admin men. They were, you know, we had black, you know, they were, you know, African American.
Right.
But we had truck drivers. You know, truck driver, that was a dual, you know, job.
Right.
You know, because like I said, you know, law passed, like you said, who was the security, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that, you know, we hauled everything.
Yeah.
So, think about it. We used to drive over there to get mail and water sometimes.
Yep.
Our gas. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not really funny, but just think about this simple, you know, that simple concept and how dangerous it was just to do that.
Yeah. You know what's so funny is I hadn't thought about, I remember when you got injured. Didn't you get shrapnel in your leg or something like that?
Yep, I still got it.
And Heidelberg also got hurt.
Yeah. When I got hurt, I opened my eyes, he was hovering over me. And, you know, he pretty much, he went out. He was ready.
Wow.
Ready. And that's one thing, you know, I always look at him as a little brother because, you know, I was older than him. And, mm-hmm. you know, we had, and one of the biggest things that hurt me every year mm-hmm. is, because, you know, before he was going to Dubai, mm-hmm. I think he was going to Dubai.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was going there. We was walking back, back. You know, to go to get in bed or go to sleep. Right, you know, we had like that started early.
Yeah.
It's hating. Mm-hmm, early. Yeah. Early. But we was walking back and then he looked at me, he said something to me, and that haunts me, and it probably will the rest of my life.
Wow.
You know, he was into church. He was real.
Yeah.
He loved church and he loved his, you know, his right. kid. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and we stopped. He put his hands on my shoulder and he looked at me, he said, "I'm just letting you know something bad's gonna happen to me while I'm over here."
Wow.
And I just looked, I said, "No, it's not, man. We're gonna go back home, this and that." And then the next day, it happened. Mm. And so that haunts me. And, you know, sometimes, you know, my girlfriend will tell you, know, I cry because I was always telling you, I'm higher ranked. I'm supposed to look out for him. Mm-hmm. You know, and I tell her, you know, she's like, "Well, you know, it's been a long time." I said, "Well, you know, I let myself down. I think I let him down because I always feel like I could have done something."
Wow, man.
But then that, just think about it. I wasn't even around, so there was nothing I really could do.
Right, true.
But just hearing that coming from him, mm-hmm. I mean, that, you know, it's been 17 years. Like I said, it still hurts.
I can imagine so, man. He was a young guy. He was cool. You know, I had no issues with Heidelberg. I did sometimes think that he was a little odd and strange, but that was the charm. That was the thing. You know what I'm saying? So, I just used to sit back and watch him sometimes and just like, and I remember one day after he had given away something, and I was like, "Why did you do that?" And he was like, he wanted it. I said, "But it was yours." I know. Oh, yeah. I don't worry about that. That's not a big deal. I can get something else.
Oh yeah, that was him. That was him 100%. You know, like I said, he wasn't a materialistic guy. You know, he wasn't. I guarantee you, if he came back home, he wouldn't have been looking for fame, mm-hmm. anything like that. He'd probably be in church every Sunday, and mm-hmm. you know, not brag about what he did. And mm-hmm. see, one thing about it is, I had to think about it one day. Mm-hmm. He had one of the hardest jobs over there.
Yeah.
Because one, the disappointment of how people don't get their stuff they're supposed to get, and mm-hmm. people on a level that the other people didn't. You know, when it comes to mail don't come, they're getting mad at him, like, you know, it's his fault, but which, you know, it's really not. Mm-hmm. You know, just going through that and just, you know, especially, you know, even you, y'all had a hard just dealing with people, paperwork, just yeah. everything, you know, still doing what you have to do outside of that. And
right.
being in an infantry unit. And, you know, some days used to piss me off sometimes because, like, you want to blame everybody, but you should have more stuff to worry about. Mm-hmm. And it's 187 airborne air assault. Mm-hmm. You know, you should have more stuff to worry about.
Right.
Making it back home. Mm-hmm. Not what somebody else didn't do.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. It was interesting being in the infantry unit because you had to do your job and you had to do their job. It felt like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, yeah, you hit it on the head.
Yeah. You got to do your job and then you got to do their job. And then they going to clown you when you can't do their job and tell you you full of all this stuff and you ain't a real soldier and all this, this, and that. Call you Pogue and everything else. But the reality is, it's like, none of us at the end of the day, no matter how much those guys went and did the training that they did, the going to the field and all that other stuff, nothing would have gotten us prepared for the real world other than just doing the real world stuff that we did. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right. 100%.
And it was just, you know, it was always interesting to me. And I know the Army has changed a lot since you and I were in, but, you know, it was interesting, you know, it didn't feel like a job to me. You know, like I go to work in the morning, I log on to my computer, I do my job for 8 hours a day and whatever. It felt like when I was in, I was in an extended frat house. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand what you're saying. You're right about that one.
I don't feel like, you know, even though I was getting a salary to do the stuff that we were doing and doing PT, which I wish I had fucking PT right about now, because I definitely wouldn't be as heavy as I am. Oh, shit. But it was just like a big, I mean, it just didn't feel like work. And sometimes that was good because, you know, the monotony of being, you know, overseas sometimes would get pretty sad and dark. But at the same time too, whenever I would go out and, you know, interact with other people that either did my job with other units, it felt like there was a sense of pride and a sense of, you know, strength and like, yeah, this is what I do. You know what I'm saying? That I didn't quite get when I was at 187 in the Rockasons. And I don't know whose fault that was, but it felt a lot like Full Metal Jacket when I was in. You know what I'm saying? You remember that movie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. That's a classic.
Right. You know? And
Marine Corps.
Yeah, that's right. That was the Marine Corps. I always get it mixed up. I always think that it's Army, but no, it was the Marine Corps. But it just felt like that a lot, you know? And I think that's probably why I never feared, you know, not coming back, because it didn't seem real. It didn't seem like we were in real danger, even though I had to, you know, Kevlar down and had to have my weapon clean to make sure I'll be able to shoot. And I did the security details and all that other stuff. It never felt like it was something that could take me out, you know?
Yeah, I totally understand. Well, you know, when I joined the Army, which it was, you know, out of nowhere, really. Mm-hmm. I had a recruiter, he came up to me, and he talked to me for a minute. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the Army, and I told him I got in the Marines because, you know, promotion was very slow. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty much a couple people had to retire for you to go up the ranks. Mm-hmm. So, and I just told him, you know, I really didn't want to get, you know, stand in the military anymore. And so he's like, well, you know, you come and join the Army, you don't have to do the basic training again. Okay, that I liked a little bit. I'm like, okay, I don't have to go to basic training. So if you go to the Marine Corps, you switch over.
Right.
You don't have basic training because that basic training is longer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, see, now he's trying to pull me in now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I switched my MOSs, you know, from, I was in the infantry in Marine Corps. So he's okay. Like, well, you be a truck driver, you know, you get out and get your semi license, you have all that, you can do everything, and you know. Mm-hmm. So he's like, a little bonus. I didn't have to, you know, take the ASVAB again or anything. Mm-hmm. Once, you know, I end up going to AIT in Texas. Mm-hmm. Good old El Paso. Mm-hmm. So that's when I met Mr. Gunny.
Mr. Gunny.
That's what. And you know the crazy part about it is, when I first met him, I'm like, I thought he was racist. Mm-hmm. I thought, just looking at him, you know, you would think like,
right.
I don't know about him. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Yeah.
I don't know about this dude. He looks a little crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and you know exactly what I mean. He looks like he's off.
Yeah. He was something else. I'm trying to think if I have any stories about him.
Oh, I got plenty.
Yeah. So after, I mean, obviously Don't Ask, Don't Tell existed when I was in the military. The good thing about you guys, you guys never made it weird. But I wasn't out at the time, but you guys never badgered me about it. It was just like, it was what it was kind of thing. So definitely. After I got out of the military, you know, a number of years later, I think we've been friends now for maybe the last 3 years. But like I said, he found me through Niles, and you know how they all find you through Facebook. You get one friend and you see everybody else they're associated with and so on and so forth. And eventually you came about a year ago. But Mike, it was something I posted about a situation that happened to me and Carlos and how crazy it was. And he actually reached out to me on Messenger and was like, fuck what they say, you do what you want, man, I don't give a fuck, you know. I support you, you know, I got your back, and if you need somebody that's gonna come over there and kick their ass, you let me know. You know, and this kid is like 5'4", 5'5", 160 pounds, maybe wet, short, red hair, kind of bald, I think, or it was a high and tight at the time.
Yeah, he wear it. Yeah.
With the glasses, the Army issue birth control glasses that you used to have on.
Yes.
But what it looked like, he looked like he could rock that shit in regular life. That's how he it was like, oh yeah, them your glasses. Oh, you wear those all the time. Got you. Okay. You know.
Have you seen him lately?
Not in a few months, because he normally just kind of chimes in every now and then, but I hadn't heard anything from him in a while, so I need to reach out to him, make sure he
He video chatted me one day. I don't know who it was at first. You know, like, this dude looked like the Marlboro Man. He got a long beard, like, longer than mine, and I'm like, I know this can't be him.
You know what? That's the funny. He did the same thing to me too. I think he just randomly FaceTimed me or whatever, and you know he would send like recordings and stuff like that. You know, I used to say to myself, you know, you must be bored. But thinking back at it now, I mean, I guess I kind of miss it, because he was real. He was a cool dude.
Oh yeah, he's a good guy. You know, he's one of those guys that, if you're his friend, you're really his friend. He takes that to heart. Mm-hmm. And like he said, now if you need somebody to come up there, he probably would have done it.
Love, this is, I'm on this Facebook now. I'm showing Carlos. Tell me what your reaction is. This is not Samuel. This is the guy that we were talking about. Uh-huh. Yeah. This was. It looked like a no, he's short.
I know.
He's short. Like, he ain't no big guy.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, this is, and he, to me, he still kind of looked like that. This is him in his full uniform. So, yeah, he's cool as shit. But I had a unique experience when I was in Fort Campbell, and I just want to make sure that I let everybody know that, you know, I am grateful for my military experience. It was fun. It was enjoyable. I just, at my fifth year, I felt like I had enough. You know, it was something that I did, and, you know, it was a means to an end, you know, at the time. But it wasn't something I felt like I can do as a career. But the thing is, you know, even though some of the experiences that we had sometimes were not the greatest, we didn't necessarily have the language to be able to understand what it was. Because we had, you know, being black people in America nowadays, you know, even now, and we pass that trauma down from generation to generation, all we really know how to do is to survive. You know what I'm saying? So before this whole new level of consciousness, there were a lot of things that we heard and we saw that we felt like we just had to take for the betterment of just making sure we got through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right.
So, and it's interesting to me because there were about four or five other people that I went to school with that joined the military the same year that I went in, and they were all black people.
Yeah.
You know, I know if, you know, being where I'm from, you know, poor in Albany, Georgia, if you didn't have college or if you didn't have a scholarship, the only other thing to do was the military, you know?
Yeah, sometimes that's the option.
Right.
Are they, see, this is what I learned. This is what I tell kids all the time. You know, I'm a single father and, you know, for, I got out, you know, I got cussy all my kids. Mm-hmm. I got four kids. I got three that already graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going up and down the interstate, mm-hmm. you know, every weekend. And the biggest thing, like I tell them, you know, sometimes you have to make that effort to leave.
Right.
You know, going to school or whatever you need to do. Don't get put in that same mindset that this is all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, you can join the military and go to school, but make a decision that you want to do better.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And, you know, I'm grateful for the military. I'm grateful because it got me out of that city. I wouldn't have gone and traveled as far as I have if I not. Because when I got out, I had this level of confidence that I can get through anything. Motherfucker, I served with the motherfucking Rock Tons, man. And I wasn't even a damn, you know, infantry guy. I served with them. And if I can get through that shit, I can move to California. You know what I'm saying? But better yet, if I can do that, go through that, I can move to Florida. And these are places I had never lived in or been at or, you know, whatever. I just, because of the level of confidence that I had and gotten from the military, it was easy for me, you know, to make decisions that might have been hard for other folks just in terms of doing, you know, having the faith to believe that I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? So I'm grateful for it. But if I had, you know, to look over or go back over it again, I, you know, would wish that we wouldn't had to have gone through some of the racist things or the, you know, just behavior that we saw, you know, to make it through. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
If I could go back, you remember that we was there, what, almost 3 months before anything really happened?
Yeah.
You know, we didn't do anything. We didn't invade Iraq. And crazy part, once again, we was one of the first unit to even evade, you know.
Right.
Invade Iraq, you know. Actually, we was the first ones.
Yeah.
But like I said, you remember we was there almost 3 months. Just, I ain't gonna say sitting there, but we were just there, you know. And I mean, a lot of people's asking, like, how long we're going to be here, or mm-hmm. you know, what's the move, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing? You right. know, we don't know anything. We just know we're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We, you know, we was talking about, oh, it's going to be 6 months. You know, that's how long we're going to be here. They don't do deployments over a year. I think we were the first set of people that was over in Iraq for a year.
We was there for a year.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Now, you know, I did two tours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the Rock Sons, for some reason, I could not get out that unit. I don't know why. Like, I could not get out that unit. And mm-hmm. that's when I got PNE 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
Like I said, Mike Gunner was my gunner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the type of shoot first. I'm not going to ask later. Mm-hmm. One of those type of guys.
Mm-hmm. And you know, those people, they used to do us dirty because they felt like we were pogues and stuff. So they would always like mess with us and try to make our jobs and stuff harder, you know. I remember sometimes getting in an argument with those guys about log pack and stuff. You know, we were supposed to meet up at certain point because we didn't go to all the places that we went to. We would cut it in half. You know, we would do one, you know, whatever we used to do. But anyway, you know, if they didn't meet up at the you know, place that they were supposed to meet at, I can't think of it. Like, I'm thinking bus stop, whatever. And they would get mad, and Lieutenant Rice would be like, fuck it, let's go. And we would go back, and they would radio, you know, telling him, hey, y'all need to come back with this stuff. Y'all supposed to wait until we get there and blah, blah, blah. And he would be like, I'm not going to send my men out there to be sitting ducks, blah, blah, blah. It's not going to happen. And we end up having to go back and give it anyway.
Oh, that's what he didn't play. His soldiers, he did not play.
And he's like, I'm not going to be having my soldiers sitting out there being sitting ducks. That's not happening. You know? Y'all supposed to be there when y'all supposed to be there. And we ain't sitting no longer than that. Yeah, he went to bat for us.
But that's another crazy part. He was African-American, and he was over platoon.
That's true. And they used to give him a hard time, too. They used to give him a hard time, too.
I don't know how that happened. Mm-hmm.
He definitely, you know, he came into his own after a while, but he definitely, you know, he looked out for us, you know. At the end of the day, I really honestly and truly felt like he genuinely cared about each and every one of us, you know, working under him. So
yeah, he did that.
Mm-hmm. So
I think he was an infantry guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was infantry.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought he was. Yeah. Because he was with
a
truck driver. I remember he was infantry.
Yep. He was a lieutenant. I want to say it was an Alpha Company, I think. One of the second lieutenants. And then he got promoted and became a first lieutenant. And he was a first lieutenant with us. And then he became captain and all that other stuff. But he was cool. He was Lieutenant Rice was one of the rare, you know, black guys that was number one infantry. And let alone, secondly, he was very humble too. It was never like pretense with him. We didn't have to, like, you know, if we didn't salute him, not, you know, not to get him in trouble, he wouldn't be like, hey, you didn't see me, you know? It was more of a, like, hey, correction, like, hey man, you know you're supposed to be saluting me out here, so. You know what I'm saying? He was more of a mentor, not someone who kind of barked orders at you. He was a cool guy. I like him a lot. I really did. I wish I would have gotten to know him a little bit more. I wish I actually would have spent more time. I got to know June pretty well. I don't know if you remember him.
Oh, man, that was my guy, too.
Yeah, June is cool as shit. It's funny because he's from Jacksonville. And when I moved to Jacksonville a couple years after he got out, we saw each other, and I never saw him again after that. I know he's still up in Jacksonville doing his thing, but I saw him once over on a side of town, and I was like, hey, what's up, man? You know, let's exchange numbers or whatever. And neither one of us kept in touch. It was just kind of one of them things that we, you know, kind of went out almost every ways, but he was pretty cool. Sergeant Rouser, you remember him?
Old guy.
Are you friends with him on Facebook?
No, I'm not friends with him on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to send you his, cause he's cool as shit. We've been friends for the last, I want to say probably about 10 years. Cause he found me shortly after I got out of the military.
He was always cool.
Yeah. Sergeant Rouser. He was under my Facebook comments a couple of days ago. Oh, it was we hit our 6-year anniversary of when I proposed to Carlos.
Okay.
And Son Raza, he was like, what's up, Reggie? You know, stay cool, man. Be cool. You're a cool guy. You're a cool guy.
That sounds like him.
You're a cool guy, Reggie. You know, when they started calling me by my first name. For some reason, I don't know why. And he was like, you're a cool guy, Reggie. You're a cool guy. Just stay cool, Reggie. You stay cool, man. So, I'm trying to think. June, Son Rouser, Patino.
Hey, did you remember Jason Price.
Sounds.
He was a cook.
Oh yeah. Yes.
I talked to him yesterday. He's about to retire.
Wow. Dumb. Did you retire, Samuels?
No, I ended up getting out. You know, got cussed my son. It was too much.
Oh, you couldn't. Right. I got
cussed my kids. It was too much, and that injury just. I was fooling myself. I just couldn't do it.
Right, and that, you know, sometimes the best decision is to bow out when, you know, what did Kenny Rogers used to say? Got to know when to fold them. Got to know when to fold them.
Yeah. It was like I say, it was just too much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got down here, got a good job, you know. And, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm like, I wish, I missed the military, don't get me wrong. I miss certain parts of the military.
Yeah. I missed the PT plan, and I can't say I missed the money, because I made way more money when I got out than I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we were over in Iraq and they were, it was tax-free, I still don't think we made that much money.
Oh, yeah. You remember the hazard pay?
Yeah. What?
It wasn't that much.
Yeah.
Not what it should have been.
I need to go back and look at one of my LESs and get it all mad all over again. Yeah, but they did give us free room and board. I mean, I stayed off post, so I didn't stay in the barracks. But it's funny because they had too many soldiers at one point, so they allow a lot of us to be able to move off post. So
yeah.
I had an apartment, you know, and they paid us BAH, BAQ, all that other stuff that we were supposed to get. Man, some of the stuff I hadn't thought about in so long, Samuels, and you just sparked that right into me that fast.
Yeah, I mean, because you got, like you said, that was a salary job. You mm-hmm. knew you was getting paid every month.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Every 2 weeks, you know what you was getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at your LES, but you can also look at the rank structure. It's going to tell you exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah, what you're making.
If you don't have kids,
mm-hmm.
you don't have kids, you got kids, it's going to tell you exactly how much you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's no discrepancy. Well, I work this many hours. No, that's not what you got to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Nope. And I'm pretty sure they had us working longer hours than we should have, though.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Too many times.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like, you know, I was in Iraq, you know, for 24 hours for about a year. I feel like that should have been hourly. But as much shit we had to do, man. And then on top of that, like you said, you know, getting ranked was slow because it always go to the infantry guys. So that was that was another thing, you know, on top of just doing our, like I said, on top of us doing our job and then also being black on top of that and all the microaggressions that we had to go through. But, you know.
And mm-hmm. you know what's so cool is it? You know, when you get promoted, you got to go in front of the board.
Yep.
Stuff like that. See, in the Marine Corps, you don't do that.
Yeah.
But I remember we came back, and I remember with Cozart, he was already a sergeant. He took me in there.
Mm-hmm.
They see, before I went, you know, they talk before you go in there, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they said something about the Purple Heart and stuff like that. He's like, he's one of the people that he actually, you know, went through some stuff. He actually got a Purple Heart. It's not for, you know, not for play, not for talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in there. This is crazy. So I went in there. They told me to do a left face or something like that. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first sergeant was like, I'm going to tell you this. He called me Mr. Samuels. He said, I'm going to tell you this, Mr. Samuels.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hurt, let them know you're hurt because you came in here, you're limping.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he just pretty much shut it down. Like, this ain't got the military. Okay, it's one thing. Just like, if you're hurt, you're hurt.
Right.
And he was just letting me know. He's like, you know, you're tough and you're starting to, you know, be one of them soldiers. You're going to do it anyway. And if you had to cut your leg off, you're still going to be that strong soldier. Mm-hmm. You're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and I've seen him after the end.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, if you might need to get out or do whatever you need to do, just make the decision. You know, you're not going to be less of a man.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like that, you got to do what's best for you.
That was another thing. That toxic masculinity, man. That was, we went through a lot of, I mean, I don't know. It was tough for me because I was also gay too, and I didn't. But, you know, people would say shit, and you know, it'd be mean.
I didn't know that.
Not then. I went out then, man. I mean, I it wasn't like I had a, well, that's, I'm gonna fall back on that. But, it was kind of one of those things, like, I say, obviously, if I wasn't in the military, I probably would have came out a lot sooner than what I did. But the military allowed me to be able to, you know, keep it closeted because it was don't ask, don't tell, you know? Yeah. And guys, there were a lot of guys that were getting out because of don't ask, don't tell. And it was me, and I was actually gay. And it was like, nah, I don't even want to go out like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, you know, because they were, if you told, then they would let you out of the military. And a lot of guys, you know, got a smell of that you know, that infantry life. And it was like, nah, dog, they didn't say that in the brochure. So, and then, you know, they bada bing, bada boom, they would kick him out afterwards. But I, even when I was in, and even though I knew I was, I never felt like I wanted to tell anybody. Like, it was something I was still trying to work through, you know what I'm saying? And the last thing I think would have helped my ego, or not even ego, just my overall experience, if I would have gotten kicked out because of being gay, I probably would have stayed in the closet a hell of a lot longer than. But, you know.
That would have been a good lawsuit.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But, you know, I was in the process of getting to know myself at that time. So, you know, I don't regret not saying anything. And there were some soldiers that actually did come out when they were in the military, but I just didn't want to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? I felt a sense of duty to finish the time that I had, you know, written for me. So, but, you know. It was ultimately a good experience. I enjoyed the work that I did. And yeah, you know, even though it was kind of crazy at times, I would do it all over again, you know, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot. And like you just said, everything you just said, I didn't know, you know, you came out, stuff like that, but I didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate, you know, that.
I'm not going to look at you any different.
I appreciate that's that. Not,
yeah, that's not for me to do.
Thank you, man.
If anything, you know, you was my brother on the battlefield. Right. I should have the utmost respect for you. It doesn't matter how it goes.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. It was, you know, it was a different time then. And now soldiers can come out, you know. I tell this story all the time. I when it comes to my sexuality, my dad is the person that I go to for the barometer in terms of what people can handle. And my dad is very, he's a deacon in the church. Yeah. You know, he's very deep into, you know, the church culture. And he was like, you know, you my son and I love you. So.
Oh, yeah. That's what real dads do.
And, you know, it was never a thing. It wasn't like, you know, I might not, you know, like the lifestyle that you choose, but at the end of the day, you're my son and I love you. So after that, yep. You know, it was like, what? My dad can take it. I don't give a fuck about what none of y'all say. You know what I'm saying? So, but that, you know, that's a testament to how good of a person my dad was, but, I enjoyed it. So Mr. Samuels, I am going to bid you adieu, sir. I appreciate the opportunity of getting a chance to just have a conversation. Because that's really what it was. It was you and I was catching up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We were trying to, you know, have a whole 14-year reunion. You know what I'm saying? In an hour.
Yeah, in an hour, yes. It's so much more.
You know, so. But yeah, man, anything you need from me, you absolutely got it. You know, if you ever find yourself down here in Florida, you ever want to do a vacation, you know, Carlos works at Universal, so we can get you some tickets and, you know, all that other stuff too. So yeah, you anything you ever need, man, you know, don't hesitate to call, like for real. You're the homie, man. And you're another black brother that, you know that experience that I went through. So I appreciate you for just being you, man, because I've always remembered you, man, and, you know, you definitely impacted me with, you know, just how gentle you were in terms of how cool you were. You were always approachable, And, you know, I felt like I could be myself around you. So I appreciate that.
And you know what? That's exactly what they said. People not get that. It's like you're one of the only, or I didn't say only, but you are very approachable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter the situation. You're not going to tell anybody if we have this talk. You're not going to say anything. You're not going to, you know. And I told you behind closed doors, man, I'm talking to you as a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can talk to me, you come to me. If you can't do that, then I'm not doing my job right.
Right. That's true. And, you know, those are the lessons that we need to learn, to have a little bit of compassion. And sometimes it's all it takes, you know. So
the people that's under you, they work better when they can trust you.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, man, you need to teach a class on leadership, for real.
Well, man, hey, police need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the bare minimum. They needed to be physical, not to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, your job, you needed some common sense.
Yeah, and you know what? After I got out of the military, I was in the cell phone industry for a number of years. And the last 2 years I was in, I actually did the job that I went to the Army for. I was an inventory specialist. So that was actually pretty cool. You know, it definitely was a skill that transferred over to me pretty easy, because I did that for a number of years. So, but yeah, man, I appreciate you. We are going to go ahead and round it out. I just want to tell everybody, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. Again, you can find me on Instagram, Reggie's with an S _ expressions with an S. No apostrophes on Instagram, Facebook, Reggie's, R-E-G-G-E-E, _ / expressions, and you'll find me there. And if you guys don't mind, you definitely can become a supporter, and I would really appreciate it if you do. And, you know, I'll make sure I put the link and everything out there. But thank you so much for listening, and I appreciate you guys growing the podcast with me, because things are going well. I like the fact that I'm seeing those downloads go up, and I know it's all support of you guys. So with that, Mr. Samuels, you have anything else for us?
No, just, you know, the link, you know, this conversation, I definitely, after we get out the phone, I want my son to hear it.
Oh.
So he'll understand, because I don't know if I said it earlier, he's named after Damien.
Oh, wow.
I named him Damien.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I always told him, if you are half the man he's going to be, you're going to be very successful, and you're going to have a good life.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's great, man. Wow. So, yeah. All right. Peace out, guys.